The Nature and Causes of Apostasy by John Owen. The fourth cause of apostasy from the gospel is ignorance, which was named under this head of the deprivation of the minds of men. It is a lack of a due perception, understanding, or knowledge of the principal doctrines of the gospel, with the evidence which is given to them and the use of them in the scriptures that we intend by this. A general knowledge of some doctrines without an acquaintance with their grounds and reasons, their use and effects in the life of God is of no value in these things. When persons do not know in religion what they ought to know, and as they ought to know it, or what it is their duty to know, and without the knowledge whereof they can perform no other duty of religion in a right manner, then are they culpably ignorant, and so as to be exposed to all other evils that befall them. For whether this be for lack of due instruction from others, or lack of diligence in themselves to learn, the event is equally pernicious. In the first way, the Holy Ghost assures us that where there is no vision, the people perish, Proverbs 29:18. The people will suffer where those whose duty it is so to do are not able to instruct them. For if the blind lead the blind, both must fall into the ditch. And in general, it is affirmed that the people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6. Of such ruinous consequence, by one means or another, is the people's ignorance of what it is their duty to know, and by no one way does it so effectually operate to their destruction as by this of disposing them to a defection from the truth which they have professed when any trial or temptation befalls them. Multitudes, yea, whole nations are often brought to an outward general profession of the truth of religion, especially with respect to the opposition of any other that is made to it. The influence and example of some that are in power and esteem among them, falling in with a season of encouraging circumstances, may produce this effect. Where men have little knowledge of what they profess, and less sense of its power and efficacy, so the body of the people of old turned to the profession of the true religion under the reformation made by Josiah. Nevertheless, as the prophet observes, they did it not with their whole hearts, but feignedly, Jeremiah 3:10. They did it not out of love to the truth or a cordial respect to the ways of God, but in a hypocritical compliance with their ruler. The conversion of the northern nations after they had possessed the western parts of the Roman Empire was a pledge of what their future profession was like to prove. The first conversion of the world was by the laborious preaching of apostles, evangelists, and others, accompanied with many miraculous operations exemplified in holiness of life and patience under all sorts of persecutions. And by this means none were received or admitted into the profession of Christian religion but such as were personally convinced of its truth, instructed in its mysteries, conformed in their life to its precepts and engaged to its profession against persecution. But in these latter conversions, some kings, rulers, or potentates being dealt with by popes or other princes, and upon this perhaps with no small influence from secular considerations, admitting of the Christian religion and opposite to paganism, their allies, kindred, and subjects usually followed them in it, having indeed little more of Christianity than the administration of some external rites and a relinquishment of their old idols for the new saints proposed to them. By this means, their first profession of Christianity was laid in profound ignorance of the principles and most important doctrines and duties of the gospel. So it became most easy for them who were looked on as their guides to lead them into all those foolish opinions, idolatrous practices, superstitious devotions, and blind subjection to themselves, whence at length issued the fatal apostasy, knowing but little of what they ought to have known, and delighting not in obedience to what they did know, they willingly embraced themselves, and God judicially gave them up to those strong delusions which turned them wholly from the gospel. Thus the generality of this nation has received and professed a Protestant religion in opposition to popery. No doubt many did so through a sincere and effectual conviction of its truth upon the first Reformation. But it has so come to pass that what through their own supine negligence and carelessness about all things invisible and eternal, what through the sloth, ignorance, laziness, and wretched indifferency in religion, as some of those that should instruct him, multitudes are become shamefully ignorant of the rudiments and principles of that religion which they account themselves to profess. So has it been almost in all ages and places after profession become national. Many will not make use of the means of instruction which they have, and more lack that means in an effectual measure. Nor, it may be, can there be an instance given where there has been sufficient care taken, or at least sufficient provision made for the instruction of the body of the people in all parts of it. Neither is that ordinary course of the ministry which is passant in the world sufficient to this purpose. Can any man who knows anything of the gospel, the nature of men with respect to spiritual things, once suppose that the reading of prayers to a people, or the rehearsing of a sermon without zeal, life, power, or evidence of compassion for the souls of men, accompanied with a light, vain, worldly conversation, as it is with many, should he answer the apostolical pattern of laying the foundation, and then carrying on of men by continual instruction to perfection? From this, as also from other reasons obvious to all impartial observers, it is that darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people. Ignorance prevailing on all sorts of men. Some will not learn, some have none to teach them, some are engaged in the pursuit of sensual lusts and vanity, some swallowed up in the love of and cares about the things of the world. Few in any age have been conscientiously diligent in the things which are of eternal concern to them. This is that which facilitated the papal apostasy, from whence it took its rise and by which it received its progress. Those who would on the motives mentioned be accounted Christians, and which it was the interest of the pretended presidents in religion to have so esteemed, being profoundly ignorant, they first accommodated the practices of religion to their carnal superstitious minds, and then gradually led them into all errors and fables, for they were blind and knew not where they went. So were the important truths of the gospel abandoned for monkish dreams, for legends of foolish lying miracles and other heathenish superstitions. It was by ignorance, I say, principally, that the people gave themselves up to the power of seducers, which enabled the architects of the Roman apostasy to carry them into opinions, ways, and practices suited to their secular interest. And so sensible have they been of their advantages by this, is that some of them have commended ignorance as the most useful qualification of the people in religion. We may, therefore, well fix this as another cause or occasion at least of apostasy. When men are ignorant of the religion which themselves profess, as to its doctrines and the principal grounds of them, when they are like the Samaritans who understood not their own religious worship, which they had received by tradition, but worshipped they knew not what, John 4, verse 22, they are no way able to defend themselves against the least impressions of seducers. They may plod on in the old track of some formal outward duties, but if anyone meet them in their way, it is easy for him to turn them out of it. So the apostle, showing the danger that professors were in because of apostolical seducers, assigns the means of their preservation to be the unction which they had received and which they knew all things, 1 John 2, verses 19, 20, and 27. Had they not been taught and instructed in the truth, they could not at such a season have persevered in the profession of the faith. Yea, such persons are very ready to think that there is something worthy their consideration in what is proposed to them by the most corrupt seducers, whereas they have really found nothing in what themselves have so long professed. For no man can find any real benefit, profit, or advantage in that in which he is ignorant. So it is said that some by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple, Romans 16, verse 18. Everything they say has a plausible pretense and appearance to persons under that character, so that they are apt to be taken and pleased with it. Hence is that advice of the apostle to them who design establishment in faith and order. Brethren, Be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be you children, but in understanding be men, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Be you complete, perfect, well instructed in your minds, fully initiated into the doctrines of the gospel, such the apostle calls perfect men, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, Hebrews 5, verse 14. Those who in opposition to this are children, that is weak and ignorant, will also be uncertain and unstable. They will be as children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness in which they lie in wait to deceive, Ephesians 4, verse 14. For let some crafty papal emissaries come among this sort of people, and let them confidently tell them that they neither have nor ever will have any benefit by the religion they profess, and that they have no evidence or assurance of the truth of it. They tell them no more but what they will know to be true if once they take it into consideration. For whereas they have seemed to be always learning, by resorting to church and the like outward means in which religion is expressed, yet they never came to the knowledge of the truth. Therefore, when by any means they are put to a stand, and are forced to consider themselves, they are amazed to find how little it is that they believe of the religion which they profess, or know of the ground of what they would be thought to believe. But such persons had, as they will not fail to do, that with them of Rome is full assurance, that none ever mistook the way who accompany them that are of the old religion, which their forefathers professed so many ages before this newfangledness came up, which has filled all things with confusion, disorder, sects, and divisions. Whereas before all were of one mind, which was the most plausible argument to paganism against Christianity. Every troublesome personal circumstance of their present condition makes them inclinable to believe that it may be as they say. Let them tell them also of the power granted to the priesthood of the church to pardon all sorts of sins, of the effectual intercession of saints and angels, among whom they may choose out particular patrons and guardians for themselves, of the mercy, grace, goodness, power, and interest in heaven, of the Blessed Virgin, all continually exercised in the behalf of Catholics, of the miracles that are daily wrought among them, of the wondrous sanctity and devotion which some among them have attained. They begin to think that there is somewhat in these things which they can feel or see, whereas in their own religion they can understand little or nothing at all. The great things of the gospel are strange things to them. They neither do nor can understand them by all the diligence they think meet to use in this case. But the things now proposed to them have the nature of tales, which the mind of man is accustomed to, and apt both to receive and retain, and it is not imaginable how easy a transition will prove from a religion in which men know little or nothing at all, to that which at one view presents to their fancies and senses all that they need, believe, or do, that they may be eternally happy. Suppose one another of a sort to come among such persons, and at once call them off from the profession of that religion which they pretend to, confidently require them to attend wholly to a light within them which will be their guide and direct them to God. They find by natural experience that there is some such light within them as that which he seems to propose to them, for there is so in all men, as the apostle declares, even the light of conscience accusing or excusing as to sin or duty, Romans 2, verses 14 and 15. Having therefore, by reason of their ignorance, no experience of any power or efficacy in that religion which themselves profess, they begin to think there is a reality in what is proposed to them, and so are easily inveigled. For there is no security of his constancy for one moment, when a trial or temptation shall befall him who has not light or knowledge enough of the truth to give him some inward experience of the efficacy of what he professes. But it is no way necessary to insist any longer on that which is so evident, both in manner of fact and the reasons of it, an apostasy from a traditional profession of those truths which indeed men do not understand is easy, in a time of temptation unavoidable. In all ages, multitudes have thus perished for lack of knowledge, For such persons are destitute of defense against any external cause or means of defection. They have nothing in their minds to oppose to force, nothing to seductions or fraud, nothing to the examples of great leaders, nothing to conflict with the superstition of their own minds, and will therefore, when wind and tide suit the design, comply with any fair pretense for a revolt. And in this lies no small part of the danger of the public profession of the Protestant religion among us, by whose defect principally God knows, but it is incredible how obdurately ignorant multitudes are. Such there are who know no difference in religion, whilst the same names of God and Christ are commonly used, and the same places frequented for worship. Yet will this sort of man show great zeal and earnestness against popery and other heresies, none more forward to revile, contemn, and prosecute them to their power as ready as Islamists are to persecute Christians, or Papists, sincere believers, and that on the same grounds. If at any time they are put to a stand and necessitated to give an account to themselves of the reason of their own religion, what it is they believe and why they do so, their confidence will fail them. And like to men falling into cross paths and ways, they will not know what to do. And on such occasions, they are the readiest of all men in a kind of shame of themselves to give up the religion which they have professed for any other, in which it is promised they shall have more skill, or by which they may have some benefit, as it is pretended, whereas by their own they have none at all. Whatever therefore is amongst us or elsewhere an occasion of ignorance among the people, it exposes them to a fatal defection from the truth. If those upon whom it is incumbent to instruct them in the knowledge of the truths and mysteries of the gospel are unskillful or negligent in the discharge of their duty, they do what lies in them to give them up, bound hand and foot, to the power of their spiritual adversaries, and they will be found chargeable with no less guilt who lay obstructions in the way of others who would willingly labor in the instruction of men to their power. A man would think from all circumstances and all indications of the present inclinations of the minds of men that it were the chief interest of all that really love the Protestant religion to preserve its professors from apostasy or any disposition toward that, that this will be done effectually without a continual instruction of them in the truths which are to be professed, with their grounds, reasons, and effects, is so fond an imagination as that it deserves no consideration. It is but to build castles in the air, to suppose that men will be kept constant in the profession of religion by outward laws, the observance of external forms, and the secular advantages some persons by it in which they are not concerned. They will not be so. I say when a trial shall befall them. There is no other means that is appointed of God or is rational in itself for the attaining of this end, but that those who are so concerned do what in them lies personally to instruct the people in the truth, encouraging them to obedience by their own example, and to prevail with them who have the same design to be assisting with them in it. But to cry out of the great danger of Protestant religion and the growth of popery, and at the same time not only to be negligent themselves in that great duty of communicating the real effectual knowledge of it to the souls of men, but also to lay needless obstructions in the way of others who would sincerely endeavor so to do, is an unaccountable solecism in religion. Either we are not in earnest in our pretended zeal for the truth and our fears of the prevalency of popery, or we don't believe that instructions in the truth is the only means to preserve men in the useful profession of it, which is to renounce the gospel and all rational consideration with it. Or are we influenced by other things which we far more esteem than evangelical truth and the purity of religion? The reformation of the church consisted principally in the deliverance of the people from darkness and ignorance. And if through our neglect they should be reduced again into the same state and condition, they would be a ready prey for the papacy to seize upon. The advice of the apostle as to the duty of all gospel ministers and officers in such a season as we are fallen into is that alone which will preserve us, 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 5. But it may be supposed that so much labor and diligence in the instruction and teaching of the people, as some assert, is altogether unnecessary. It is enough, if they be taught what are the general principles of religion, do thereon comply with the conduct of the church in which they belong. Besides, if this burden be incumbent on the ministry, that those called to it are to have no relaxation from constant sedulous laboring in the word and doctrine, and are also required to exemplify what they teach in the whole course of their conversation, who would ever take upon him that office that can advantage himself in the world any other way? It must needs prove very burdensome if we have a religion that will not be preserved in the minds of men without all this constant, endless toil and labor. In a Catholic Church, we see how easy a thing it is to keep up the people to its profession, whilst the clergy are at liberty to pursue and use the pleasures and honors of this world, nor are any of them obliged to those irksome and endless pains which we seem to require. Yea, they find by experience that ignorance in the people is the best expedient to keep them in subjection to the priests, and then all things are secure. Wish that such thoughts as these do not influence the minds of some to a readiness for a change. If so be, it might be effected without hazard. But if more pains, diligence, labor, with perseverance in it, be required by us and the ministers of the gospel and guides of the church, the Holy Ghost and the Scripture plainly, positively, frequently enjoin, let it be rejected and despised. Alas, the best of us, of all that are alive, do come short in many things of the rules and examples that are proposed to us in it. Nor do I know on what grounds or by what measures the most of us intend to give in our accounts at the last day. Nor is there any more impious opinion, nor more contradictory to the gospel, than that it's enough for the people to be instructed only in the general principles of religion, without any further improvement or growth in knowledge. For those who are thus called the people are, I suppose, esteemed Christians, that is, disciples of Jesus Christ, and members of his mystical body. And if they are so, their growth and understanding, their edification and knowledge, their being carried on to perfection, their acquaintance with the whole counsel of God, with the mysteries of his love and grace in Christ Jesus, are as necessary for them as the saving of their souls, indispensably dependent on this, can render them. And if we will be ministers of the gospel, it will not be best for us to prescribe to ourselves our rules and measures of duty. It will be our wisdom to accept of that office on the terms limited by the Holy Ghost, or utterly to let it alone. And we must know that the more exactly our profession is suited to the gospel, the less mixture there is in it of anything human, the more difficulty it is thoroughly to instruct men in the knowledge of it. The mind of man is far more apt and able to comprehend and retain fables, errors, and superstitions than evangelical truths. The former are natural to it. Against the latter it has a dislike and enmity until they are removed by grace, and some will make a more appearing proficiency in a false religion in 4 or 5 days than others will do in the knowledge of the truth almost in so many years. We may have well grown papists in a month's time. They shall be expert in the mysteries of their devotion, and there is another profession that 2 or 3 days will bring men to a perfection in. But slow is the progress of most in learning the truth and mysteries of the gospel. If peculiar diligence and constant sedulity be not used in their instruction, they will be made a prey to the next opportunity for a defection from the truth.